This podcast is a conversation by Julie Benetti and Susan Bobro and is a production of VI Alliance, copyright 2019. And this chart-busting hit, Alone Leave Me, courtesy of New Threads, is available everywhere.
Hi, this is Susan. I'm here with Julie, and I have two special guests. I've been very fortunate. I have a lot of really cool people that are in my life. I have interesting conversations. And, you know, you can't help but if you come to my house and there's a podcast that's starting that I'm not going to drag you in. So can I say who it is? I have my son, Justin Siegel, and my son-in-law, Dylan Doyle.
Woo. Hello.
So what I want to talk about is something that, because I have Julie here and I have, like I said, Justin and Dylan here, I want to talk a little bit about Mercury being in retrograde. Because it's what's going on right now. And we've had this conversation. Because what did you guys say when I was talking to you?
I still don't know what
it means. It still seems far-fetched.
I get it. Something to do with the moon. And
I don't know. It doesn't seem like something that would affect, you know, us.
So we have conversations about science, and this isn't something that's, you know, this is science. It's like talk, and I use the moon because we talk about the moon affecting the tides and affecting water. So I'm here with Julie, who is the person who I go to. I'd like you to talk a little bit about it because we started a conversation, and right now, I'm sure anyone else who's listening, who's dealing with life's issues, there's a lot of things going on. Sometimes it becomes tumultuous.
Right. I think, you know, from a science standpoint, I mean, Mercury is justifiable. Yeah. I mean, hello, right. It's justifiable from a science standpoint. But I also think it's, you know, how many people get on board that train of, oh, holy crap, Mercury's retrograde. And that has an energy to it. And the funny part to me is when I always say, okay, Mercury's retrograde, I try not to get on that train of like, what's going to happen? And it kind of means like...
So you're saying
I want to say, you know, it's kind of like, is a move back of the planet or whatever.
It appears to be moving backwards.
How does it affect us? Like, why is it a big thing?
So what happens is, well, the energy of any planets, and because again, we come from the stars, right? So the energy of any planets, I think, would be effective of who we are and how we exist. Yet, I think in the mass of us all existing, when people get crazy about something, they get crazy about something. And to me, when I always hear Mercury's going retrograde, I always think, okay, the RE of the retrograde means that's a good time to redo, you know, revisit stuff. To work on something that you started already. So it almost gives us a chance not to. It's like when you look in your rearview mirror and you go, oh, I should have done that.
So you're saying like the statement itself inherently has a placebo effect on people?
Yes.
But exactly. I agree with that.
I feel like that's the whole thing behind the astrology thing too.
See, but I don't. I'll tell you what.
I don't know.
But that's okay. That's why you guys are perfect for this podcast, because you're going to sit here and you know, it makes us think in a different way. But what I'd like to say is that Mercury, it's a movement of the planet. And we do know that planets have not a force of gravity, but the strength of the gravity in each planet, depending on its size, is stronger. Mm-hmm. They say in Jupiter, right, it's got a bigger gravity because it's bigger, you're going to weigh more, I think it is.
And you're saying that as a pull towards
So that I'm saying when it comes, it's going to affect us. It's going to affect, if you want to say it, maybe the gravity. And this is just my speculation.
But how does that, you know, going into astrology, how does that, like... Because I know you're into astrology a little bit, and how does that change, you know, who you are, like your personality?
Oh, so go ahead.
You know what I mean?
You're more into
like there might be like some scientific, like, oh, you know, gravity, or I don't know really about that, but like, how do people go into like the personality of it? How do people pull from personalities? Just like they measured, like, these people born around this area kind of have a similar.
That's a great question.
You know what I mean?
That's a great question.
Well, it is. Go ahead, Susan.
No.
Well, it's for me, like, when it, exactly what you said, Justin, like, the gravity is a force. And so what happens when you have a force? I mean, we're all energetic beings, so there's one kind of concept around it. So there's a force, you're an energetic being. Yet also, for me, you know, moving back to like how I got interested in astrology was just that I would meet a person and I'd be like, wow, they remind me of somebody. And then I would find they would have like the same birth time.
Okay.
And so you say, okay, there's the signs. And so there's a lot of stuff that is similar. But then when you get into sun and birth times and stuff like that, there's a lot of differences with people.
Hey folks, Julie and I do a whole lot of talking, but you know, a lot of that comes from self-reflection and really looking at our lives and things that didn't make sense. And we sat down and figured out the questions that were important to us and some of the philosophy behind it. And we put it together in a journal.
Ooh.
Check it out.
And who doesn't love a good journal? Get your favorite pen and just get writing.
Hey, Julie, do you remember the old Tootsie Roll Pop commercial? It's how many bites does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
Oh, yes.
Okay, you do remember that. How many rings does it take to get someone to answer the door on Halloween?
Depends on if you have candy or not.
Well, how many clicks does it take to get the Halloween trivia ebook?
Just a one.
Just a one. Get yours today.
In relation to the planets, when you put all that together, and I think the mythology, the constellations, and all that stuff... It kind of gives you a view, an introspective view of us in a very symbolic way.
Yeah.
And so we're, I mean, even, you know, the planets, the mythological gods, the, you know, however you want to assign them, there's so many different variations that there's so much energy to choose from in what you align with. And if something sits true for me personally, then I go with it. But for everybody else, it has to be that.
Yeah.
And so when I find, like, you know, people in my family are Libras, I'm a Libra, and I find kind of an affinity
almost,
with somebody.
It almost seems like it would be better if you didn't call it by, like, a name. Like,
yeah.
Libra.
Right.
If you
yes.
said, you know, this is, mm-hmm. you know, because I feel like, you know, mm-hmm. when they put those names, that's when it starts sounding kind of,
well,
like
when,
out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, well, if you know, if it has to do with, you know, what the sky was like when you were
mm-hmm.
born,
right?
Because that affects all the, you know, the force between everything. So obviously, it's going to be I don't know, but different, measured,
you know,
differently in other places.
The other thing they say is that, and I just saw on TV, there's a science program talking about asteroids.
Yeah,
asteroids come, land here, mm-hmm. create, gives the building blocks for life. That's science. That's not me, you know, using the energy, and that's a science that's been proven.
Yep.
And they say we're made of the same stuff as the stars, because it's where we came from. And I'm not talking we're alien. I'm saying that it's the same material that's in the galaxy universe that's right here in front of us. I mean, we can't think that this is not what's everywhere else. It's just the way that it's formed. So,
well,
of course, we're going
to
be affected.
Down to how we, you know, look at it and perceive it, too, as, like, humans. Because,
right.
like, how does everybody right. else see the universe? How does, you know... Obviously, if something's alive, they're experiencing something, right? So what are they perceiving?
Right. And perception is really important, because, like, with asteroids, you could be like, oh, my God, an asteroid is coming. Or you could be like that old computer game. Remember that computer game where beep, 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 beep?
That's true, and that's why it kind of goes into, like, the whole... I'm not going to talk about simulation theory.
No, go ahead.
No, it's just that, like, there's a lot of stuff backing it. Even people, like the very, like... smart people, like astrophysicists like Neil deGrasse Tyson, they're all like, I'm not saying it's true, I'm saying there's no evidence that actually can dispute it. So it's almost like if we keep making simulations, it's not that there isn't a real reality, it's just that if you threw a dart, right, there would be more simulations than that one reality. So
right.
it really just comes down to a fraction or like a percentage of something happening over or not. But they say if we have a huge percentage that we're in a simulation than actual reality. And that's kind of what the argument is. Is because if we even assume like any sort of like development, like, you know, video games keep getting better, and even just like 10 years ago, they're nothing compared to what they are now. So you can only imagine. So if they assume any sort of progress, then there's no, you know, that's basically kind of where it comes from. Like, we will keep creating more simulations. And if you look at video games, all they're doing is just try to create, like, reality as best as possible.
And we have a video game
yeah.
expert right here. He's been doing, you know, learning about video game development. I wonder if they have those conversations.
Yeah, about simulations and whatnot. It's I think the argument is just that it's the most likely scenario, but I don't know enough about it to really start breaking it down.
Isn't that, you know, what we said in the energetic invocations? It's building illusion upon illusion upon illusion, and whatever captivates everybody in the same illusion, you either become the avatar of that or however you play.
Well, because the other thing is, like, with, like, coming to electrons and stuff, that they're saying that, like, you know, quantum physics, like, the electron is in every state until you look at it. And once you look at it, the electron assumes a state. And it's really just, you know, a cloud or a wave function that, like, when you look at it, it zones in on, like, a point. And, like, that's why, you know, it's because it's, like, what really does make up reality and why is, you know.
And so the cool thing about that I love is that I was trying to get us to write about something, is you can either be a particle or a wave, right? Because we're made of electrons, so
but
how you operate.
Technically, everything's a wave until you observe it.
Right.
Which is like,
and then you individualize
and we still can't explain why. We still don't understand why that. Why is it that when we observe it, it like assumes a position when we're not looking at it? And then that's why they talk about what's that word? Entanglement.
Oh,
I'm
like, yeah,
I'm not an expertise in this, but this is
none of us are. Well, it's theory, so it's not like.
And the cool thing about what you just said is that, you know, I always wonder then, why do we ask why instead of, okay, what can we do with that?
Yeah.
So if an electron can be a wave or a particle until it's observed, well, then so can't we. So if we're not being observed, what are we?
Yeah, well, I guess that goes back to consciousness. Like, what are we measuring in our heads, like, when we look out?
Right, like, I always sit there and say the story of I look at Julie's sweater and I see blue, and you guys can see blue, but your blue might be what I think is green. Like, if I saw what you were seeing, I think it's green.
And that kind of goes, like, you can never know what's going on in someone else's head. If even if there is a superpower of you could be someone else in someone else's head, then you just wouldn't be you anymore, right? You would be
that
person.
Right.
So it's like there's no possible way of like measuring this type of stuff because, you know, it's just we can't even really imagine.
Well, because we can't even, as we say, we're trying to find the right vocabulary to use.
Right.
So it's hard to talk about something when you're even struggling to figure out the vocabulary, which is what I think you and I do a lot of, especially in our writing. We really work tirelessly to come up, and we beat each other up because we're trying to get the right words to express something that's really without an expression for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, learning a new...
Well, it's like more of like an understanding than it is a... being it, like, we just haven't invented the right words yet, but like the best people that, like, you can tell kind of have an understanding of, you know, quantum physics and those really crazy, you know, what reality is, like, even they can't really describe it. All they can do is keep trying to explain it to you until it kind of clicks in your head of, oh, okay, I can kind of see the picture now.
Well, that's the...
And once you see the picture, it's like, I can see the picture, but it's like, you try to think of how to explain the picture.
Exactly.
And you're like,
the vocabulary and the... Well, Julie and I, we have in one of our podcasts, in our ancient texts, we've read Lao Tzu, and it's, you know, the all is, you know, is that which cannot be defined. The minute you start to define it, you're not defining the all, because we can never understand it. How do you understand what was there before... You know, I'm going to use the word God was there.
I was interested, like, they talk about how we came from a point and then we went out, but it's like, it depends on how you look at the point, because if you pull yourself way back and see the whole universe as one thing, then it's a point again.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, where are you measuring it from?
Right.
So it's like, that's why I say we're still in the Big Bang, because it's still kind of like a point, but we're just spreading out more, but the further you look at it, you can turn it back into a point again. Mm-hmm. So it's like, where is that? You know, that's like the whole like gauge theory thing about, like, you can only measure something, but you have to set like what you measure from. Like, that's a human made thing, because if you don't, like, where do you even, like,
yeah, we were talking about that yesterday.
Like, you have to set.
It's crazy.
Just interesting.
Well, it is, because Justin does music.
Mm-hmm.
and he's a musician, and we were talking about that when you go and you learn, you say you go to different music people, they have a starting point, but their starting point isn't, quote, the starting point. It's a starting point they can use to move from. And then you go to someone else, they have a different starting point. Like we were talking about music, you know, being middle C, like who decided it's going to be called C? Why wouldn't that just be A? And we understand C is you know, the major, because the major chord, because it's all white. There's no black keys.
Well,
it's just
no
the white.
Sharps or flats.
Right. But who decided to call that C,
and
middle C?
And there's probably an answer to it. I don't know what it is, but yeah, because it's interesting, is everything is like a circle. You know, you have the circle of fifths. You have, you know, everything is like, you know, on like a surface that you can keep expanding, but like the actual, you know, volume, or I don't know, like the surface area never changes. It's just expanding. You know what I mean? Or I guess it does change. Like you're not ever adding new material. You're just expanding the material you already know.
Right, and building upon.
Like
I always,
you're
it's
like
stretching,
you're like
transparency.
It out.
You have in another. You know, you have your basic, but you keep putting
but
another
saying,
layer on
I'm
top of it.
I'm saying you're taking what you already have, and you're not adding to it. You're just stretching it out, and when you stretch it out, you can look closer into it.
Oh, I see. You're like magnifying.
Yeah, you're not getting any new information. You're just going more in depth with the information you already know, and that's what. Why people kind of, you know, see people that are like, oh, you, like, how do you know so much? It's like, well, there's really only, like, a couple, you know, general, like, big ideas, and all you do is just kind of go deeper into those ideas. It's not like you're, it's almost like you're not going up, it's like you're looking down. Like a bird's eye view.
So you're talking like Julie and I talk about keep.
No, that sounds like a really good description of the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, because music is so mathematical. I mean, it's amazing. That's like a beautiful description of the Big Bang Theory.
I don't know.
Well, I always believe this most simple, the simplest things are really the answer, and you know, then you like, you know, like you're oh, saying, if you look at one thing, you could, of course, expand. Then you go into so much detail. And I think people get so, it's almost like using that. It's
like
almost like we're on like
learn.
The 100th level of the detail. That's and that's where everybody's living right now. In that huge level of so much. Okay, did I get this? Did I do that? Did I do this? And the more
and
that
I think it'll always be a back and forth. Like, I think at some point, like, I don't think social media is that great, to be honest. Like, I get why, like, people going to use it for advertising and stuff, and but in general, like, honestly, like, it's, I don't really think it's the greatest thing ever. I don't think it's like, it's cool that we're able to share ideas like instantly, and I think that's kind of what made us more of like one planet more than you
it
know
made everything small.
Yeah, it made us like one. It made us feel like one species, which isn't a bad thing, but it's almost like the cons of it is that now everything you do is like on camera, you're getting pointed out for every little thing, and it's like, well, everyone makes mistakes, and even on like Twitter, like you could make like maybe a bad tweet like 10 years ago and you could be, you know, huge now, but people are gonna, you know, go back 10 years and be like, look at what you said 10 years ago, and it's like, yeah, but I'm not the same person.
Yeah,
and it's like, are you gonna hold, because if that's the case, then everyone's kind of screwed then, because you go back in anyone's history and you'll find
right.
something.
Well, we all make mistakes at some
point. And I think
point.
That's like kind of like we're using now social media to like demonize people.
Hi, this is Julie. I recently went away to Canada and I was excited to bring a handful of books, but I couldn't read a thing. Has that ever happened to you? All I wanted to do was play. If you travel, trivia is fun. And we have a lot of different trivia for you. We have Think You Know the Kabbalion? You can test yourself. We have trivia on Halloween and Samhain. And we have Christmas trivia. So the time is right to test your brain and get moving. And if you want to do it today, you can go to Amazon and download the ebooks.
Hey, Susan, the secret's out.
Oh, no.
Well, they can't tell from my accent, but probably from yours. Yeah, we're from Boston. But the really funny thing is, our stuff is all over. We have 4 podcast shows. You can find them on Spotify, and you can find them everywhere you listen to podcasts. And we have lots of books and ebooks on Amazon, and that's worldwide. So do you feel adventuresome?
Sure.
It's It's a great experience as a writer to get feedback. And when you can turn around and use that feedback to make something even better, that's pretty cool. Susan and I wrote Energetic Invocations, a book of vibrational change. So many readers told us it was an intensely energized experience to absorb the book and integrate the work into their own lives to get clarity. Many asked for real examples to help process the energy. That's how Energetic Invocations series, A Book of Vibrational Change, volumes 1 to 17, with Process This was born. And the rest is history. The journey is yours. The energy is yours. What are you waiting for? It's available in paperback and ebook on Amazon.
I also think that your generation is different than our generation. I think our generation is kind of the, do you using it that way? I think your generation, maybe because you guys are growing up with it, you have a different perspective on it.
I think everybody uses it for different reasons, though. Like, the fact that you can transfer data around as quickly as you can is the next step at advancing technology. So people use it for different things, but everybody's got a different perspective on things. But the people who know how to use their brain properly...
Well, and like I said, you look outside and you wonder how many fit into that that description. You guys are always very good. Both of you are always, you know. And again, I don't know if it's a generational thing.
I don't use social media, but I use the internet all the time.
Right. Well, I think that's different. The internet's different than.
It's still. I still see it, but yeah. I don't prioritize it.
I feel like everything is trying to be a social media in a way. Like, websites aren't just websites anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, make an account. And, like, here, you can talk to people and stuff.
Yeah. But it's a lot of, I think there's a big spectrum of people. And there's always been a large spectrum of people, whether it's, like, smart or stupid or whatever, people who are motivated, who are unmotivated. But as time goes by, there's more people in the world, and that spectrum widens. And when you start giving people the ability to communicate that fast, it starts becoming more vocal, and you start realizing that there are more people. But it's just, I think that if you focus and you think, like, oh, the social media is bad and all that stuff, I mean, it's kind of just like a waste of time, because they're going to do what they're going to do. And if they weren't doing it on social media, they would be doing it more internally, like in the world around them, but they'd still be doing that.
See, I think a lot of it is, it's also finding authenticity on social media is very difficult.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we know, number one, all the fake accounts and stuff. And I think a lot of people, like you said, are able to say what they want. But what ends up happening is, you know, it's so fast that, like you said, a tweet, you can just get mad and you respond and you hear, you're not just, you know, when you say something to someone, you're like, oh God, I didn't mean that. I really didn't want to say that. But when you tweet it or you put it in on something, it's out there. You can't, you can delete it, but we know that nothing's ever fully deleted. And I think it gives people that, and again, being in front of a computer screen is so impersonal as opposed to sitting across from somebody.
But some things like even climate change and whatnot, you wouldn't know about if you weren't in front of, if you didn't have that information travel. And if you were reading about it in the newspaper every other week, that kind of thing, that's just a much slower way, so people are going to catch on to it a lot slower. Whereas since you have social media and you have the ability to transfer on that kind of stuff, it's a plus. It allows you to do those kind of changes. Because there's so many more people in the world, not only is information going to be transferred to bigger groups of people faster, but also those things that they're warning you about are things that are going to become more prominent quicker because there's more people. So you need to have that hasten. It needs to be
so
faster.
So it can work for you or against you, depending on what information is going out.
Yeah, it can transfer information. Like, you know, I feel like everybody kind of is more on the same page, I will say. Because, you know, people have more of a, feel like they have more of a voice too. Like, you go on Twitter or whatever. And you see people, like, reacting and stuff, and it's like, okay, like, I mean, at least they feel like they got something, they said what they wanted to say, and you know.
Yeah. I think once you understand who you are, and you understand your brain, and why you think the way that you think, when you read people that aren't authentic, or you read things that are just, like, they don't influence you anymore as much as they're just statements that you just kind of look at. time.
Isn't it a little bit hard to stay in that focus, though, sometimes? Like if you're not in the right frame of mind, or you...
I think it depends on how much you care about trying to be in that state of mind. Mm. Like, I think that the thing with... Like, when you're talking about the Big Bang and how it's a small little point. I mean, I think it's a small little point, but along a large, like, span of time.
Yeah.
Within our little time of being humans, the one thing that we have is theory of mind, where we understand that we are people, we are humans, we are things, but that's just your the back of your brain kind of working with all the other pieces of your brain. Hmm. So you can kind of direct where that goes, and you can strengthen those on your own.
That's interesting.
Once you get to the point where you're just focusing on this is me, so you're back to your front, I guess. You're not focusing on all that, like.
So you're the observer and the person being observed at the same time.
You understand that it's irrelevant to focus on other people. It's just you and what's close to you, and that's kind of how I look at it. So I think that's our big power, our big tool right now is just if you can completely understand where you are and you can work with other people, that's how you're going to be able to go towards things like exploring space and stuff like that. And that's why you got people like Elon Musk and SpaceX and those bigger companies. That's what they do. They're just a bunch of like-minded individuals who understand where they are, and they understand to push the boundaries. They need to do this, and they don't care about what's on social media or going on. Like they just found a focus,
and they and you know what, that's what they say is the only thing that's ever achieved anything is, you know, like-minded people coming together for a common goal. That's really the only way anything has been achieved.
That's interesting, because you kind of described it in a way, and yet, you know, I see it as a tool or a resource. And so there's people that'll fall into it as like, oh, this is like a game or a simulation or an illusion, and then get trapped in there. Or there's a way to just use it as a tool and a resource. And you can find a lot of different uses for it other than what it's, you know, quote unquote, supposed to be or act as if or whatever.
Well, I think that's pretty cool. And so to go come full circle, if we're going to talk about Mercury being in retrograde, it's once again a point. We're coming back to it's a point. And that's not that the point is insignificant, because it is significant. But in perspective of the all, it is a point in time. It is not everything. It is a point, but it is a point to be. And I think it is, once again, perspective. But I think using it as a tool and a resource, you started off saying it's really time to go back and look at things the way things have been. And of course, anytime you look back on who you were and the things that you've had to deal with, it's always a little painful. Mm. I mean, we start off talking a little bit about Howard Stern, and I'm not going to go into the book, that'll be another podcast, but it's about transformation. It's really about going, you know, you have to look back at who you were. I mean, even not that you're a bad person, anyone, but you always look back and you're like, oh, because you don't go back to the good things. You always go back to the cringe moments.
Yet it's also an element of nature, and nature is such a wonderful teacher. And so when you look at the time of the year, because, you know, time is man-made and we're human and we're here, you look at the time of the year and you can utilize that to say, okay, wait a minute, I have to clean, or I have to relook at something, or I have to finish what
so
I started, because that's kind of the wheel of the year. It gives you part of that functionality as well.
So this has been wonderful. You guys are coming back.
I know. Thanks, guys.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this production from EI Alliance. Check out our Amazon authors pages for books and podcasts. Find New Threads music and their latest album on iTunes, Spotify, and newthreads.us.